Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house. What a blessing that is. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 7. Judges in chapter 7. We've been in a series on the life of Gideon. I love studying Bible characters. And as we go through and we study the Bible characters, we know it is more than just a story. If it's in the Bible, it is God's word for us. And so as we study it, we learn biblical principles and all through the Old Testament that are still applicable for us today because they're timeless. Truth is timeless. Biblical principles are timeless. And so if you know it, if you learn it, if you want to know how to know it's a biblical principle, not only do you learn it in the Old Testament, but it is revealed in the New Testament in the teachings of Christ. He reveals everything, every principle that you will learn. If it's a true biblical principle, you'll find it revealed in the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures, for us to live by today. And so Judges in chapter 7. Go ahead and stand with me. Now, everybody's got something going on in your mind, okay? You just had a bad day at work. Maybe you almost got in an accident on your way to church. Maybe you're thinking about if you're going to get that hole-in-one tomorrow. Whatever it might be. But that's secondary right now. Let's put everything out of our minds. Let's focus on what God has for us. That's why we assemble ourselves together. And one of the ways that we study the Bible is just focus on, Lord, what do you have for me tonight? And receive what God has for you tonight. We have to be thinking about that. We have to be open to it. And so I trust that you're ready to do that. Last week we studied chapter 7. We're going to read again chapter 7, verse 23, and we're going to go down to chapter 8, verse 3. We didn't get it all in last week. Remember, it was 2 points. The first point was God gave Gideon and his 300 that great victory. Gideon would take full advantage of that victory that God has given to him. We fail to take full advantage sometimes. God gives you a victory. Take full advantage of it. Amen. We studied in the biblical principle, he pursued. He utterly destroyed. Don't stop short. Amen. You get a victory over sin. The Bible says that you mortify the deeds of the body. That is to put it to death. Don't just get a victory and then stop. Continue till you know it's never going to come back. You have completely put it to death. That's pursued, utterly destroyed. You get as many involved in the victory as possible. Okay, he couldn't use the 31,700 to defeat the Midianite army. But after the defeat, the first ones he called on was the 31,700. It's time for them to help now. Get them involved in the victory. When God gives you a victory, get others involved in it. Amen. Let everybody share the joy and share in the rejoicing with it. Praise the Lord for that. He reached out to the Ephraim, who had not sent anyone. You think, well, they don't deserve. Yeah, if they're part of the family. Reach out to those that you might not think that's part of the family. You might not think that they should rejoice in the victory. Get them involved too, because God wants total unity within his family. Take advantage of it. Amen. Total unity. We ended with that. Chapters 8, verses 1 through 3 is the unbelievable criticism. That's what we're looking at tonight. But let's read here. Start back over at verse 23 of chapter 7. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of the Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. Praise the Lord. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim. Didn't send anybody. Saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. They took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb. And Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb and pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. Chapter 8, verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered unto your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then the anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us and for giving us all that we've already received and just being in church. But now as we look into this passage of Scripture and we study this portion of the life of Gideon, I pray, God, that you would just give us each and every one understanding and then revelation of how we need to make application of this in our own lives. Pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Unbelievable. Unbelievable criticism. Now, realize what's going on. Before they would criticize, before they would address Gideon this way, 300 men, Gideon's 300, have just defeated an army of 135,000 Midianites that had been oppressing them for 7 years, taking away their harvest. And harvest was a time of joy and rejoicing. For 7 years, they had no joy. For 7 years, they could not rejoice. They had no harvest. They would do the work, but the Midianites would come in, and they took away their harvest for 7 years. Took away. Boy, Satan loves to take away the joy of the believer, that's for sure. 7 years have been taking place. But now 300 had just defeated 135,000. All of God's people are now enjoying the victory and cleaning up the pursuit. All of the area, all of God's people now have acknowledged that the Midianites have been defeated, and they're cleaning up, if you will, pursuing after them, making sure that they take full advantage of the victory that God would give them. That's what's taken place. In the midst of that, we find, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus? Thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites. And they did chide. I mean, this was just not a question. This was just not them wanting to get an answer, trying to clear up a misunderstanding, if you will. The Bible wants us to know that this was serious stuff. And they did chide with him sharply. So we find here, first of all, that the men of Ephraim developed a wrong spirit. The true enemy, no doubt, was the Midianites. And even beyond that, we know that the true enemy is the devil himself. He was working through the Midianites. God allowed that. God was judging Israel. And so God allowed the Midianites to be a tool of the devil to destroy and to oppress Israel for 7 years. But Satan was getting the victory here. He was working through the Midianites. But now the Midianites were defeated. And so we find the true enemy, Satan, turned from working through the Midianites to now wanting to work through Ephraim. Now that's what's taken place. This is not a coincidence that the Ephraim would stand up at this time. This was spiritual warfare. And you'll notice, you've probably experienced this in your own life, anytime that we have had, God has given us a great victory in our lives, the old devil wants to appear on the scene and cast a dark shadow over the victory. You say, wow, that happens all the time. Man, I get a victory in getting a prayer answered and turn around and something else happens. You think we had a great, tremendous revival service. You come to church and you're all fired up and you have an accident on the way home. Amen. Whatever. I'm saying that this is something that we find that is just part of Satan's DNA. This is how Satan works. And so we find here in Gideon's life as well, he had just led Israel into a tremendous victory. And we find the Ephraim developed the wrong spirit when he comes to him. Well, Gideon, I love this, because Gideon was prepared. He knew how to handle it. Can I tell you that even though Satan's going to come at us in a lot of different areas, we think we got the victory in this area. You might get that victory. He's not giving up. He's going to come at you in a different direction. And possibly even through somebody that you would least expect it. Like an Ephraim. Somebody he reached out to and said, I want you to enjoy this. I want you to get in on the victory. You didn't send anybody, but you're still part of the family. And I want you to get in on this, and so help us to clean up so that you can rejoice over however God wants to work through you in the cleanup of the victory. Least expect it, and yet we should expect it. Seems like sometimes the people you put more into, you just put your heart into trying to help. If you're not careful, they'll really hurt you. And coming back at you and doing something unexpectedly. But you didn't do it for them to start with. You did it for the Lord. And you prepare yourself no matter what. I'm not going to let anybody steal my victory. I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy and rejoicing. And this is what was going on. But Gideon was prepared for it. He didn't take it personal. It was meant personal. Yeah. Ephraim wanted Gideon. He chided with Gideon sharply. He wanted to attack Gideon. And Gideon said, no, I know where this is coming from. He didn't take it personal, and he presented what God had allowed them to experience in gleaning in the victory by delivering the final blow in beheading two of the princes of this huge Midianite army. He said, look in your hands. Do you not have the two heads? Did you not bring to me the head of Zeb and the head of Oreb? Did you not sense a little bit of joy in knowing that God gave you the victory in killing these two princes of the Midianites? I couldn't do any more for you than that. Don't look to me to give you anything else. Look what God has given to you. Look what God has allowed you to get on. The final blow in beheading Oreb and Zeb. God give that to you. And he said, oh. And the Bible says, then their anger was abated toward him when he had said thus. He didn't take it personal. And he presented to them God. He didn't want to take the glory. He didn't want to exalt himself. No, he wanted to exalt God. Yeah. So that's the story. That's the Bible story that we're looking at right here. And I think that as we looked at this Bible story, I think we can get some principles here. And as I said, as you study a Bible story and you see the biblical principles that ought to stand out to us, and I presented a few of those, then you can find that in the New Testament, that's Christianity. God has revealed it to us in New Testament scriptures, if it's a true biblical principle. And I believe right here, we're seeing who the real enemy is. Yeah. Satan was defeated trying to work through, first of all, Midian. And then as he switched, since Midian had been defeated, then he tried to work through part of the family. He tried to work through Ephraim. And he came at him in a different direction. But as he came at him, Gideon knew how to deal with it. And so tonight I want to share with you, again, we're looking at this, Satan's DNA has not changed. I love using that. I love thinking about that because that's his makeup. That's who he is. And the Bible reveals him to us throughout Old Testament and New Testament. There's so much in the Bible that helps us to understand how to deal with the devil. We know that, first of all, over in the book of Matthew chapter 18, look there with me, Matthew chapter 18. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 11, we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. If you study the Bible and you learn these biblical principles and then you see them revealed by Christ, and there's much in the Bible that helps us to understand how Satan is, how he's going to work against us, how we're going to fight evil, how we're going to have to battle spiritual warfare. That's part of life. That's part of life. And so as we study the Bible, it helps us. We're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of how he's going to come at us. The Bible says, Jesus taught in John 10:10, he says, he cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's as a thief, and that's Satan's coming. As he's coming, what he's going to try to do from you, he's going to come to steal whatever it is that God's given you. In any area of your life, he's wanting to take away your finances. He's wanting to take away your relationships. He's wanting to steal whatever it is that God has blessed you with. If you're not careful, he will. He'll achieve that. But that's what he's trying to do. When that's under attack, when you're under attack in these areas, understand, now, Satan might be working through somebody else. Don't attack the person. You have to attack the devil, who is the real enemy that you need to defeat. And so we find here that he cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. In the book of Luke in chapter 22 and verse 31, Jesus was teaching Peter, and he says, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Peter, one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, trained at the very hand of the Lord. And he looked to him and he says, I'm preparing you, and you are prepared, but know this, even though I've prepared you, Satan wants to take away your usefulness. Because that's what he was talking about, to sift you as wheat. The wheat have to be sifted from the chaff. And the wheat part is what's useful. Satan would love his, and I've mentioned this many a times because it's biblical, it's so true. Satan would love to keep every person on this planet lost and take them to a devil's hell. If he loses that battle, if you get saved, you were saved for a purpose. God has a purpose for your being here. Now, Satan is not going to give up on you. He might have given up on trying to keep you from getting saved. He's going to come at you in a different way. He's going to come at you as he did through Ephraim. He's now going to, his main goal, once you're saved, he cannot take away your salvation, but he can render you useless for the cause of Christ. He can take away your salt. He can take away your savor. He can take away your usefulness and keep you from accomplishing what God has for you to accomplish. So just because you got saved, don't think that that's all needed. No, that's just the beginning. Satan now, he didn't defeat you through the Midianites. But there's an Ephraim coming, a different angle. He's got a desire to render you useless. That, Jesus tells us that, desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Had you turn to Matthew chapter 18, look here what Jesus teaches us here. Verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Things that's going to stand against you. Things that are going to try to keep render you useless, if you will. For it must needs be that offenses come. But then he says this, but woe to that man. Means that men can be offenses. Satan can work through men to offend you and to hinder you and to keep you from accomplishing God's will. He has to allow it because God's given a free will to man. And with a free will, that person's sin will affect other people. Because it's a free will. God has to allow it. But you don't have to allow it to offend you. You don't have to allow it to sift you. You don't have to allow it to keep you from being all that God wants you to be. You have to be like Gideon, knowing how to deal with it. It must needs be that offenses cometh, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. God says, you don't want to be the one that the devil's working through to offend one of my children. Because woe unto you. You don't want to be a child of God's and be used of the devil to be an offense to another child of God either. So what is Satan's DNA? How do we see that? That's the devil. That's what we understand, that there's more that's going on here than just a story. There is helping us to see how the devil works. The first of all, I'm going to give you four things tonight through this, very quickly here. Satan's DNA is seen through the timing. You see, the devil is not a stupid creature. He's a wily creature. He is. He knows when you're at your weakest point. He knows the sin that so easily besets him because you revealed it to him. When you committed that sin and he was able to get you because of that sin, you revealed this is a weak point in your life. This is something that so easily besets you. And Satan has written it down, I guarantee you, and he knows exactly how to attack you. But you don't have to give in to it. We all have sins that so easily beset us, but we don't have to give in to those sins. We have to realize what those sins are. You don't have to tell anybody, but you better realize what your weakest sin is. And you had better put up some safeguards. You have better defend against those because the devil's going to come at you from that viewpoint, whatever that might be. At the right time. At the right, the timing. This was a time to rejoice. Now, stop. When it's a time to rejoice, what should we do? We should rejoice. If you let somebody or something keep you from rejoicing, when it's a time to rejoice, Satan's going to work through that. He's going to try to put that dark blanket over the victory. He's going to try to keep you from seeing what you need to see in order to rejoice. He's going to try to blind you to the blessings of God. They had been oppressed for 7 years. All of them. They had no joy. They had taken away their harvest for 7 years. Now they know it had to be God because Gideon only took 300 down. And God says, I don't want there to be any doubt as to who's given you this victory. Every born-again Christian today, when God has given a victory and you know it's a victory, just like the children of God, when God gives you a victory, it's a time to rejoice. Don't let that negative person come into your life and steal your joy. But the timing is there's going to be somebody. There's going to be a something. You just got to stay focused on the victory. The timing. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. This is what the Bible says. This is what they should have done then. This is what we need to do now. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. If it's a time to rejoice, rejoice. If it's time to weep, then weep. But don't weep when it's a time to rejoice. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As a church family, and God blesses somebody in the church, you should not be envious, and you should not let any kind of jealousy sink in. When that family member, that church member is rejoicing, do not be used of the devil to try to put a dark blanket over the rejoicing. No, that's not a time for you to address a situation like this. It's a time for you when a church member, a church family member is rejoicing and you're in their presence, it's a time for you to rejoice with them. Look what it says in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, talking about the church family. Verse 25, that there should be no schisms in the body. You can tell a schism when somebody should be rejoicing and they're not. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Don't let Satan use you as an offense to hinder somebody's rejoicing. And he'll work. If it's a time to rejoice, make sure that you're rejoicing. Yeah. See, even if Ephraim truly believed that David had, or that David, that Gideon had slighted him, it was not the time to bring it up. It was not the time. Not the time to attack. It's not the time to criticize. It's not the time to be negative. It's a time to rejoice. And if it's a time to rejoice, don't be an offense. Tell Satan, even though you might be tempted, there might be some jealousy. Can I tell you that we all have a little bit of that in us? But it's a part of the old nature that we have to suppress. And we've got to ask ourselves, this isn't the time. If it's the time to address something, address it. But it's not the time to criticize when you ought to be rejoicing with a brother. And so when that happens and you feel like criticizing, you need to suppress that, because that's the devil working through your old nature, and you need to yield to the Spirit of God to have a right spirit and rejoice. And you know what? Not only will they benefit, you will benefit from it. Because you just got a victory over the devil. The timing. It wasn't the time to criticize. It wasn't the time to chide. It was the time to be thankful and rejoice. The next thing we find, the DNA of the devil, and the same thing here, the selfishness that was involved. Look back there with me. Chapter 8. Why hast thou served us thus, and thou callest us not? Was it about you? Or is that just your selfishness? They were being self-centered. No thought of how this would hinder Gideon. The 300 men that God did work through, or the 31,700 that were now been brought back into the victory. And you're not thinking about the 31,700. You're not thinking about the 300. You're not really not even thinking about Gideon. You're thinking about yourself. When you have to just think, well, they did this to me, and it's all about me and mine and ours, and can I tell you, the devil's working there. Yeah, that's a DNA, trying to get you to be selfish, trying to keep you focused on you, thinking that everything else revolves around you. Can I tell you, we all have a tendency to do that, because it's part of the old sin nature. It's part of who Satan is. There's not a one of us in here that does not battle with this at some point, at some time in our life. But when you're understanding the spiritual warfare and you understand the DNA of the devil, you realize this is the devil. This is the devil trying to work through my sinful nature. And I will not be self-centered in this situation. I am going to suppress the self-centered nature. And I'm going to rejoice. The selfishness involved. Philippians chapter 2. I think that's New Testament Christianity. Amen? Is it not New Testament Christianity? Is it not what Jesus Christ taught? It is the same thing in Old Testament. The principle is the very same thing there. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let nothing be done. Nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Ephraim, what do you think? How is this going to affect not only Gideon? How's it going to affect the 300? How's it going to affect the 31,700? And you think it's about you? Yeah, selfishness. So the devil, it's his DNA. And it's something we all have to battle with. Thank God that he's revealed it to us. Yeah. The third thing was the deception involved in it. The deception involved in it. Go back there with me. Why hast thou served us thus, and thou callest us not? You need to have an invitation. When thou wentest to fight with the Midianites, you didn't know the Midianites were there? And you're telling me that you really didn't know about Gideon and the 32,000 that were going to go up against the Midianites? You didn't think they had a chance. Truth of the matter is, you thought they were going to lose. Because you thought they were going to lose, you weren't going to send anybody to be part of that losing. That's why for 7 years, you haven't volunteered to lead an army against the Midianites. For 7 years, you haven't volunteered. You haven't said, we need to fight against the Midianites. You've been cowering in your own land and allowing them to defeat us and to oppress us and to take away our rejoicing, our crop. And now you're trying to tell me you didn't know that was going on? Now, Gideon could have said that. He didn't, but he knew it. He knew that they were being deceptive. The truth is, they didn't think Gideon had a chance. It wasn't until after the victory was given. After the Midianites had already lost most, if not the entire army, and now there's just a couple princes left, and now we're strong. We'll go get them. Yeah. Oh, you should have called on us. We'd have come down early. Oh, you really think so, huh? Some people try to be deceptive, and you see right through them. You think, yeah, come on. Yeah. John 8:44. That's the truth. That's a principle that we find there. What did Jesus say about that? Book of John, chapter 8. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Truth, lies, and deception, they're all the same. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Is that not the DNA of the devil? Is that not what the Bible teaches us? And so when you find yourself wanting to be a little deceptive or out and out lie, you're going to be an offense. Because God doesn't work through deception or lies. And if God's not in it, I guarantee you Satan is. The last thing we look at here, and we're done here tonight, but it's the DNA. It's just how Satan works. That evil spirit. The last was a mean spirit by which he addressed Gideon. A mean spirit. And they did chide with him sharply. Hasn't he earned a little more respect than that? After Gideon had just accomplished something that you wouldn't even think of over the last 8 years because you didn't have any faith that God would give you the victory. And Gideon comes on the scene, a farmer with no special talent, no special gifts. And God called him a mighty man of valor. He just took, believed God to take the army from 32,000 down to 300. by faith. And God blessed him with the victory. But it wasn't only Gideon's victory. It was a victory for all of Israel. Seems like when you pour your heart out, and sometimes you see God work in a mighty way, there's always someone. There's been a few times. Any preacher worth his salt pours his heart out to deliver what God has for the people. You don't look at yourself as being anything special. You're just a vessel that you know that you've yielded. God's called you to that position, but it's God that works through you to be able to preach and to present things that'll help the congregation, minister to the people. And you pray and ask God to use you. You pray and ask God to work through you. And by the end of the service, I mean, you've given your all. And most of the time, most preachers, after they've delivered the message, and boy, you see a lot of things. You see God, the altar's filled. God moves, and you go back there, and you're greeting people. There's always somebody. Preacher, you mispronounced that name. You know that, don't you? And you get it inside of you, and you want to just... Did you not listen to the message? Yeah. I mean, you poured your heart out. You've given it all you have, and you've seen God work in a mighty way, and you're back there thinking, thank you, Lord, and for rejoicing, and there's always that person. But you can't. You smile, so I'll try to do better next time. And you might not, you don't need to have to worry about coming back, you know, but I, no, you can't, because it's not you, and you know that, but God has worked through that, and you have given it your all. That a mean spirit, just a mean spirit to say something negative. I'm not insecure in my preaching. I'm really not after 40 years. But I've prepared. Because I know it's going to happen. And I don't really look at that person as being the enemy. Most of the time, that person slept through the message. They don't know what's going on anyway. Yeah. And because I've prepared, I can smile. And I can move on to the next person. We must be prepared to not give Satan a win. We're not ignorant of his devices. His DNA is the same today as it was then. Gideon didn't let Ephraim get the victory. Therefore, God got the victory. When you see, sense the devil working, don't let him use you. Be prepared. Don't let him take away your joy. Don't let him use you to take away somebody else's joy. Know that we fight spiritual warfare. And let's not give in to the devil. Let's maintain the victory that God gives. If I could have every head bowed. That's the life of Gideon, this passage of Scripture, understanding these biblical principles and seeing it so clear in New Testament Christianity. God spoke to you tonight, and you need to come. Invitation's taking place right now. Bring it to the altar. We're not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we on Wednesday night, but we always have an invitation, give you an opportunity. Don't always have to be moved by the music to make a decision. If God spoke to you, you need to come. You come now. You make that decision. Maybe it's just to commit to not allowing Satan to work through you to be an offense. Not allow Satan to hinder you through somebody else. Enjoy the victory. Rejoice when it's a time to rejoice. Anybody else need to come tonight? Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, thank you for just meeting with us tonight. And oh, just from the very beginning, just sensing your presence in this place. Pray that you would help each and every one of us to receive what you had for us and make application, whatever that would look like in our own lives. Now watch over us now as we get ready to leave and go our separate ways. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.